If you're a facilities manager at a warehouse and your HVAC system goes down, it can turn up the heat, literally. But don't sweat it, Grainger has you covered. Grainger offers over a million industrial-grade products for all your operations, including warehouse HVAC maintenance. And even better, they offer access to experts and fast delivery, so you and your warehouse can both keep your cool. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Welcome, it's Eric Erickson here. The phone number, 877-973-7425, should you wish to be on the program. If you follow me on Instagram, if you text Eric, E-R-I-C-K, to 33777, you can see my link to my Instagram. You can follow me. I have put up a picture of the window washer. I heard him on the window on the other end of the hall and went down to that end of the office, and there he was hanging. It's two ropes. Not wearing a helmet. I mean, why would you even bother wearing a helmet at this point? You're that high off the ground. Washing the windows. Doing a great job of it. Doing a marvelous job. Scared the mess out of me. If you weren't here in the first hour, I hear something on the window, and so I raise the blinds, and I am eye to eye with this guy. And he's washing the windows, and then he just disappears. Gone. And next thing I know, while I am live on air, he just face plants into the window. Like I am like, I mean, not what, 7-8 feet from my window. And he just comes around the corner again and slams right into the window, scared the mess out of me. I am really glad I did not say something very inappropriate on the radio show, but I came very close. Good gracious, it scared me. So he's now on the other side of the building. I'm safe. Two, just remarkable, remarkable. This reminds me. So hang on. I got an email from a listener. I got to read this to you guys. Where is this? I'll leave his name out of it because of one of the references he makes. As a CPA, I despair that in a 1999 survey, tax return preparation ranked as the second most loathsome task, just behind number one, washing windows. Working my way through college in the early 70s, I worked on the 60th floor of the Empire State Building. Windows actually open in the Art Deco Empire State Building. A team of window washers visited twice a year. They would roll up a window, step out onto the windowsill, latch one side of their safety belt on one of the hooks outside, step outside, latch their other safety hook, close the window, and clean it with water and a squeegee. Secretaries were too horrified to watch and fled the room. In the early 90s, the original roll-up windows were replaced with windows that pivot in, so it's no longer exciting to watch the window washers at work. So don't fret that someone was on a scaffold outside your window. Think Herbie Rides Again. Except there is no scaffold. This guy is in a harness. He's got carabiners and a rope. And wow. All right, we got to move on. We're going to talk about movies. Yes, movies. Twister. They've remade Twister. Twister 2. It's out in movie theaters across America. And apparently it is an actual big hit. It is doing quite well at the box office. So it has brought in so far, according to Box Office Mojo, Deadpool and Wolverine is number one. It brought in $205 million on opening weekend. Twisters brought in $35.5 million. Despicable Me 4 brought in $14.2 million. Inside Out 2 is still hanging on at $8.3 million. And then Long Legs is a horror movie, and it's brought in $6.8 million. Now, on Sunday alone, just on Sunday, Deadpool and Wolverine brought in $47.5 million, and Twister brought in $11.1 million. It's a very good number. And frankly, the just blowing it out of the water right now. The top 2024 movies revenue wise are Inside Out 2, Despicable Me 4, Dune Part 2, and now Deadpool and Wolverine. That's only been out since last week. But the press is furious. The left is furious. They're very angry. Any guesses why? Twisters, which is a remake but really cast as a sequel to Twister, doesn't bring up climate change. It never mentions climate change. And the media is very upset that Twisters gives no lecture to redneck audiences across America and red states about climate change. I'm not making that up. They're actually really upset about it. There are multiple articles from multiple places that have started complaining. The Guardian, the Los Angeles Times, the New York Times, they're all very upset. Twisters isn't a lecture and meta commentary on climate change. Now, I'm going to get back to this point. You hold Twisters there. And let's go to The Acolyte, the show that I love to hate. The Acolyte is a Disney streaming series. Its Rotten Tomatoes score among critics is an 80%, and among the audience, it got as low as 14%, but it's come back to 17%. It's still less popular than the Star Wars Christmas special. It is one of the worst things I have seen. It's just dumb. It's poorly written. It's exceedingly narcissistically boring. And it is a fantasy tale of the LGBTQIAPPIA plus community. No white men involved in the series. The lead actress uses they, them pronouns. The director's a lesbian. She's casted her lesbian wife as a green Jedi who is a terrible, terrible actress in the show. Maybe she's a great actress elsewhere. She's not good in it. You got these lesbian force witches who conjure a child out of nothing. And in the final episode, when you realize that the Jedi are the Christian parents and the Sith, who are the bad guys, supposed to be the bad guys, the Sith are the queer community. When the lead character decides she wants to be a part of the queer community instead of the Christian community, her Jedi lightsaber turns pink from blue. I'm not making that up. She's holding a blue lightsaber. She had been taken in by the Jedi as a child. And when she wishes to unleash her queer self and show the world who she really is, her lightsaber turns pink. I wish I was making that up. I'm not creative enough to come up with something that stupid. It really happens. And you realize that the entire time what you've been watching is a meta commentary on queerness in America, and the Jedi are those awful Christian parents who have taken kids in and they don't let them embrace their inner queerness, and that the Sith, they're not actually bad, they're misunderstood, they're the queer community, and they will allow you to embrace your inner queerness and your lightsaber will go from blue to pink. It's a horrible, stupid show. It's so very unthoughtful. In fact, there's even one scene in it where, like, they build it up. There's one of the Jedi is on a planet that is uncharted, and it's just a massive forest, so no one has any idea where he is. And it's going to take at least, like, two episodes to find this guy. They find him within 10 minutes. He's already dead. It's just, it was so dumb. It was so dumb. A cave made of stone burned down. It was just dumb. But it's got an 80% critical review of critics. 80% critical review from the critics who appreciated the embrace of wokeism. Now, let's go to Twisters, which has a 76% review, but it's a 92% audience score. The audience loves it more than the critics. And you know, the number one reason the critics are complaining is because Twisters has a captured audience that wants to see the movie, that is there for the action, and could be subtly lectured about climate change. But they don't want to. Bob Iger back in 2017 at Disney said that Disney was going to embrace essentially wokeness. Fast forward to 2023, he sent out a mandate that Disney needed to reject politically lecturing their audiences and just tell good stories, a complete role reversal. Turns out audiences want to be entertained. They don't want to be preached to. Participant Media is the production house that released, what is this, Earth and the Lurch, Al Gore's, his climate change documentary. Now I can't think of it all of a sudden, but they've gone out of business. They've gone out of business. Inconvenient Truth, that's what it is, Inconvenient Truth. Participant Media started producing documentaries and films where there was an understanding that in each of its movies, in each of its documentaries, there would be a progressive narrative lecturing the audience, and they've gone out of business. People just want to be entertained. You know, the problem, and this gets to the queerness of some movies. And you see this in, for example, The Acolyte, where you want to tell a tale, you want it to be explicitly gay, your trans character can't be the bad guy. Your trans character, your queer character who is your protagonist can't have a flaw because you want to normalize them so there can be no flaws. You can't make the queer character the murderer, because then that might make them look bad. And so what you wind up doing is having the most boring, narcissistic possible character. You can't put this person in a bad light. They're there to represent a class you think has been demagogued and bullied, so they got to be the perfect character. And there is no perfect human. So you get a very boring, one-dimensional, very shallow character with no entertaining value. Hollywood may be figuring something out. The movies that have been doing the best lately are the least preachy. They're the ones that will not win the Academy Awards. In the last number of years, you know, when I was a kid, I loved to watch the Academy Awards. My grandmother and I would watch it. My favorite part of it is, to this day still, is the In Memoriam, where you realize, oh, I thought that guy died 10 years ago. I didn't realize he just died. Or, wow, I can't believe this guy's still living. I thought he was dead. But years ago, the Academy Awards, they used to kind of would parallel the audience. And the winners of the big movies also had to be very popular movies. Nowadays, I can't remember the last time I've seen a movie that won Best Picture. Occasionally it still happens, but generally doesn't. Because the wokes in Hollywood decided they needed to tell you stories that indoctrinated you and preached at you and lectured you. And people stopped going to the movies. And during COVID, no one could go to the movies. And they haven't gotten in the habit of going back to the movies because the movies have been woke wisdom that nobody wants to hear. Now suddenly that's changing. And the left is furious with it. They would rather kill the box office than have it survive and not lecture. And again, this goes back to my point from earlier. It wasn't intentional. I just kind of find myself here. The left discredits any institution it cannot control and seeks to destroy any institution it's not in control of. The left has felt very firmly it's in charge of entertainment in this country. And as movie studios decide, you know what, we just want to entertain. We don't want to preach. We don't want to be in people's faces. We're not going to lecture them on this stuff. What's the left now doing? Trying to vilify these movies and discredit the production studios that have pushed these movies because they cannot control it to enact their social agenda. It's one reason it's worth going to see a movie like Twisters at the theater to encourage Hollywood to continue to make movies for people like you and me. At the end of the day, they're all a bunch of capitalists too. They want to make money. And when a movie like Twister avoids the preachiness of the global warming crowd and just entertains you, it's a movie worth going to see in the theater, so they get the hint, because they will get the hint. At the end of the day, the accountants pay attention.
When the world seems crazy, he'll keep you sane. It's the Eric Erickson Show. You can be live on Eric's show by calling 877-97-ERIC. That's 877-973-7425.
Hello, my friends. I sure hope you are well. The phone number is 877-973-7425. I want to take Bert's call from Coral Springs, Florida. Welcome to the show. Bert, how are you?
Hey, Eric. Doing well. I've just done my layman analysis, and I see that professor that comes up with predictions is pretty close to ruling out Trump. And I'm hoping you're going to disagree with me and be optimistic, but I know you were talking earlier about the Supreme Court and the filibuster and what may be coming. So here we are. What's done is done. This is where we are. There or not. And I think this has all been premeditated and staged by the Democrats, but I think we need a 2016 miracle. I just don't see how he can win. I think Vance was a dumb pick. Should have picked Youngkin or somebody that widened his reach. The next debate is going to be rigged. I think it's a long shot.
Okay.
They're going to get bumped out of the convention. Should I just give up?
No, I don't think you should, because at the end of the day, Kamala Harris is still Kamala Harris. Look, I agree with you, Vance. I don't mind J.D. Vance. I like him. I know him. We've texted back and forth. Don't know him well, but I don't think he was a great vice presidential pick because he doesn't expand options as a VP can when you're Trump's age, and he wanted a legacy. He wanted to double down on Maggie. He shouldn't have done it. I wouldn't be surprised, actually, given some of the commentary I'm hearing behind the scenes, if there's now an effort to swap out the VP pick, which I don't actually think is likely. At the same time, though, Bert, here are the fundamentals. Inflation is still not settled. You still have increasing unemployment in the country. You still have people dealing with inflation, high grocery prices. You've got turmoil overseas. You've got turmoil now in the Western Hemisphere. You've got crime on the rise here. You've still got illegal aliens crossing the border. You still have all the fundamentals in the race, and it's the Biden-Harris administration. It's not the Biden administration. What you are feeling, I would submit to you, is that feeling of deflation that comes from the Democrats really did this. They swapped out Biden for Harris. Give it a couple of weeks. Give it a couple of weeks. In the polling averages that are still out, Donald Trump is still ahead. In the swing states, Donald Trump is still ahead. Kamala Harris's favorability rating has risen, not because independents have changed their mind on her, but because Democrats have come home to her. Give it a couple of weeks. Give it a couple of weeks. Do I think the GOP needs to respond? Yes. Do I think they need to work faster to define Harris? Yes. Do I think they can still win? Absolutely. Yes, I do. The fundamentals of the race haven't changed on the issues. Hillsdale College would like you to consider supporting them. I'd like you to consider supporting Hillsdale. Hillsdale has a classical education model that they are funding to deploy to states. Even public schools, charter schools and the like, not just private schools, can embrace it. State of Louisiana and others have. For charter schools, it can work. If you go to ericforhillsdale.com today, you can support them with a tax-deductible donation to a nonprofit. Hillsdale College is expanding the minds of kids. They're not indoctrinating. They're just teaching. And not only that, they're doing something very important that you don't necessarily get in college these days. They're teaching kids critical thinking skills so kids can think critically so they can avoid the indoctrination. But they depend on generous donations, and they would love to have you support them. Remember, at Hillsdale, they don't take federal government money. You don't get student loans to go to Hillsdale College, and every kid gets a job there to help them subsidize the cost, and their scholarship program really helps make college affordable. You can help Hillsdale College with a tax-deductible donation, ericforhillsdale.com, E-R-I-C-K, ericforhillsdale.com.
Smart, fearless, and occasionally funny. You're listening to The Eric Erickson Show.
Greetings, conversationalists. Welcome. It is Eric Erickson here. The phone number is 877-973-7425. The Harris campaign is moving to try to call Trump and Vance weird. You know, one of the weird things, the Harris camp is having racially segregated events. They had a white women for Harris event where one of the women, I can't play it because of the profanity, but essentially said that white people need to shut up and listen to the non-white community because of their moral claims. It's very intersectional because of what they've been through in this country, they have greater moral standing to tell America about America. And they're also doing a white dudes for Harris event where white men will vouch for Kamala Harris. They are really leaning in on racial segregation for the Harris campaign, which is kind of funny, actually. But it is also odd. Donald Trump had a rally over the weekend where he took on Kamala Harris and is trying out some messaging. And so here's my thinking on, I'm frustrated that the Trump campaign hasn't been more aggressive and more rapid in dealing with Harris. And my guess is that it is the candidate himself who is focus grouping in real time, live on stage, and he just hasn't done enough events to get a sense of what might work. But part of the problem also is what works with the base may not work with everybody else. They got to be careful here, but this is Trump.
Harris is so extreme and unhinged that she has even declared the terms illegal alien and radical Islamic terrorism to be forbidden and unacceptable. You're not allowed to use those terms, but that's what it is. Some of it. If she's elected, she will flood our country with refugees from Hamas-controlled terrorist epicenter in Gaza, the Gaza Strip. She wants to deposit thousands of jihadist sympathizers in Minnesota. You know that. You already have enough. I mean, how the hell do you have these Congress people elected? Ilhan Omar. Now, she went to a speech when I was running. When I was first running, and in all fairness, I never did this stuff before I'm running. And this lunatic was in the audience. She started screaming. I said, who the hell is that? And it's the same crazy person that I watch every night. She's nuts. And she gets reelected by not a lot, but she gets reelected. How do you have people like that? I'm telling you, I was making a speech, and we had a lot of people, and she was like there someplace, and she got up and started screaming. I said, that woman is insane. She's crazy. And you know what? She's become like a major voice in Congress. Can you believe it? She's a sick woman, and she's destroying your state. She's hurting our country, and we shouldn't be electing people like that. They want to turn the Middle East. Remember this. They want to take a look at the Midwest. They want the Midwest to be just like the Middle East. That's what their plan is. Let's turn the Midwest into the Middle East. I think that's not going to work out. But we do not need a jihad in the United States of America, and we're not going to allow it. We're going to do something about it.
That's Donald Trump. One of the other things Donald Trump said, and I got to give credit to Jake Tapper at CNN. He is one of the major voices in the media who called BS on the way the Democrats are spinning this. At Donald Trump's rally, he said that you're not going to have to worry about voting in 4 years. The Democrats immediately took that, say, oh, he's admitting he's going to get rid of elections. It's not what he was saying at all. And you can tell who's honest and not in the press by how they handled his remarks. What Donald Trump was saying to people was every 4 years, you're whipped into an existential frenzy that the country's going to end and you must go vote. Christians, and he was talking mainly to Christians at this, that every 4 years you think that I got to go vote, I got to save the country, the country's going to hell in a handbasket. And he said, we're going to do so much, so successful over the next 4 years, that you're not going to have to worry about it in the next election. The country won't be able to come to an end because we'll have been so successful. They won't be able to break us. That's what he meant. That in 4 years, you're not going to have to think that, oh my gosh, I got to go vote or the country's going to end, because the country will be so strong, there's no way they can end it. And so voting will be less important to you. You don't have to be whipped into terrors every 4 years to go vote because the country will be fine. I honestly think he should refine that and make it a message. I honestly do. Because both sides do tell you that this is the last election to save the country. I'm already starting to get emails and calls from people about this, that this is it. If we don't win this time, the country's over. Well, that's what she said the last time. Well, I know I said the last time, but this time I really mean it. But that's what she said two elections ago. Well, I know I said it then and the last one and the one before that one and the one before that one. But this time it really, 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 really is. Stop crying wolf. The country's not going to end. There's nothing you can do to end the country by voting for either side here. I prefer the policies of Trump, but I don't think that if Harris were to get elected, she could end the country. I might not like the policy outcomes, but then there will be an election in 4 years, and we can undo those. But I do kind of like this idea from Trump that, look, if you give me 4 more years in office, I'm term limited. I can't run again, but I can do so much so well in 4 years that you're not going to have to think about every 4 years, oh, my gosh, the country's going to end. You'll realize the country's too strong to end. I like that idea. It's very notable that the Democrats are pushing back on this. It's very notable that the Democrats are screaming about it. It's also very notable that the Democrats, like Republicans, want you to believe the world's going to end. And what the Democrats have been doing is saying Donald Trump's an authoritarian and he's against democracy. They've kind of toned that down since they nearly got him killed a couple of weeks ago with the rhetoric. But they're still into this whole democracy moment. And I don't know that that's going to sell. And that was Joe Biden's message. And I don't know that it's going to be Kamala Harris's message. What I do know is that the Republicans really actually need to put some effort into defining Kamala Harris and her record and tying her to Joe Biden's record. Mike Lawler, congressman from New York, was on Fox Business talking about their international record.
Estrus foreign policy under Joe Biden and Kamala Harris. Their appeasement of Iran has been the fundamental problem here. Iran is the greatest state sponsor of terror. They fund Hamas, Hezbollah, the Houthis, and other terrorist organizations in the region with a stated goal of eradicating the state of Israel. And if you look at what has occurred under the Biden-Harris administration, Iran has increased its petroleum sales by $100 billion since Joe Biden took office. Those funds are what is funding terrorism. Hamas gets 93% of its budget from Iran. And so this is something where appeasing Iran, appeasing its terror network, does not work. You know, just a few years ago, President Obama tweeted out that sanctions would not result in Iran amassing power in the region. And that's obviously not true. Sanctions are critical here, and that's why I fought to get the SHIP Act and the Iran-China Energy Sanctions Act passed so that we can crack down on this illicit oil trade that is funding this terror network.
That's Mike Lawler talking about the foreign policy, but it's not just him. It is Congressman McCaul as well.
Well, I sign off on all 4 military sales, and I sign off on all the ones that have gone to Israel and also to Ukraine and Taiwan. And so the fact is, though, that these shipments have been delayed intentionally. Now, the four corners, that being the chair and ranking member of House Foreign Affairs and Senate Relations, we signed off on these weapons. And for some reason, the administration has withheld those weapons.
What's the reason?
I think maybe it gives them leverage over Israel and decision making processes. But when I talked to the prime minister in his office, this creates daylight between the United States and Israel. And I think it's very dangerous, especially right now, for us to somehow put daylight between us and our most important U.S. ally, the democracy in the Middle East.
These are the issues for which you can focus on, but it's not just the foreign policy. It's the economy, stupid. It still is the economy. And the economy is not great. Now, I would note, like my last caller from Coral Springs, Florida, was nervous that Trump's going to lose this thing now because of the swap. The polling has certainly narrowed for right now, but Trump is still ahead. Trump is still ahead in the polling averages, even ahead in the swing state of Wisconsin right now in the polling average. But it's not just that. It remains the economy. The Dow is down right now, only 20 points. we've seen some walk back in the stock market as people are taking profits out. But at the same time, we're also continuing to see higher inflation and prices. So this happened today. McDonald's had its earnings call Monday. Said diners consider the company's prices too high, and they're trying to evaluate through a quote-unquote forensic approach how to lower prices. Their $5 value meal offerings were successful in bringing lower-income diners back to the stores, but they haven't translated into higher sales yet. McDonald's is having problems with higher prices. Your grocery store is having problems with higher prices. People are cutting back. And that can be tied to Kamala Harris, who has defended the Biden economy on the record on video. There is a way for the Trump campaign to advance this. The name calling, the calling her weird, calling her DEI candidate, talking about single cat women, childless cat women. Those aren't ways to go after Kamala Harris. You go after Kamala Harris with a record. Her record distinctly matters. And there is plenty of record for the Republicans to go after. Dave McCormick, again, I think Dave McCormick, who's going to be at the gathering in a couple weeks, Dave McCormick came up with a fantastic ad against Kamala Harris. It is the right message to go after her. It holds her accountable for her record using the things that she herself has said. And I'm just kind of baffled that the Republicans haven't just taken McCormick's ad and essentially swapped it out for everybody else. If you can't remember the McCormick ad, this is it.
Kamala Harris is inspiring and very
Pause. Okay, so that's he opens with Bob Casey, who he's running against, who is the current senator. And you hear Bob Casey talk. I should have set that up. He closes, begins and ends with Bob Casey, his opponent.
Kamala Harris is inspiring and very capable. The more people get to know her, they're going to be particularly impressed by her ability.
The nonpartisan GovTrack has rated you as the most liberal senator.
I am prepared to get rid of the filibuster to pass a Green New Deal. There's no question I'm in favor of banning fracking.
Would you ban offshore drilling?
Yes.
What is the solution for voters in the fossil fuel industry?
Giving the workers an ability to transition.
We're not going to treat people who are undocumented across borders criminals. That's correct.
Raise your hand if you think it should be a civil offense rather than a crime across the border without documentation.
Abolish ICE. Yeah. Is that a position you agree with?
And we need to probably think about starting from scratch.
Outdated, it is wrong-headed thinking to think that the only way you're going to get communities to be safe is to put more police officers on the street.
Would you support changing the dietary guidelines? The food pyramid. What would people
Yes.
Are
yes.
To reduce red meat specifically.
Yes.
People who are convicted in prison, like the Boston Marathon bomber, on death row, people who are convicted of sexual assault, they should be able to vote?
I think we should have that conversation.
We have to have a buyback program, and I support a mandatory buyback program.
So for people out there who like their insurance, well, they don't get to keep it.
Let's eliminate all of that. Let's move on.
I am opposed to any policy that would deny any human being public health, period.
The more people get to know her, they're going to be particularly impressed by her ability.
If I were the Trump campaign, I would take that McCormick ad, chop off the beginning and end, and run it nationwide. Run it on social media. Run it in every swing state. Define Kamala Harris in her own words, her own record, the things she's defended, without any other commentary. Just let it speak for itself. Weigh her down on her record. The single cat women stuff is not going to cut it. The DEI candidate stuff, it's not going to cut it. The record cuts through the noise. It's what the GOP needs to do. And Donald Trump sounds like he's going there, but we got to get there faster. Now, one of the groups that's helping knocking on doors, among other things, is Americans for Prosperity. They want people to know about a record. They want people to know about the truth. They want people to know about how you can get out there and be active and tell your neighbors sound policies and get neighbors involved. All you have to do is go to Eric for Hill. AmericansForProsperity.org. Americans for Prosperity is the leading, largest grassroots organization on the right. They're one of the leading organizations in the nation, and they have the largest grassroots movement in the country. And you can be a part of it. They have chapters in almost every state. They'll teach you about good public policy for families, for free markets, for small businesses. They'll teach you how to talk to your local and state representatives about advocating for those sound policies. And they'll teach you how to talk to your neighbors and give your neighbors facts and figures so that they themselves can get involved in the process and understand what's at stake. All you have to do is go to AmericansForProsperity.org. AmericansForProsperity.org. Go today. Join your state chapter. Get involved with Americans for Prosperity. They're going to be at the gathering in another week. A great way to meet them if you're going to be in Georgia. But otherwise, go to AmericansForProsperity.org.
Well-connected and well-respected. It's Eric Erickson live every weekday. Join Eric's army of activists. Text ARMY to 33777 now.
Hello and welcome. It is Eric Erickson here across the United States of America, and I am delighted to have you with me. Well, the Trump campaign is pushing some video here that I want to get out for you that can certainly be repurposed and should be repurposed. This is Kamala Harris in her own words.
And yeah, I am a radical. I do believe that we need to get radical about what we are doing and take it seriously.
Right. Now, you add that with Kamala's stated agenda. She wants health care for illegal aliens. She wants a conversation on whether murderers on death row should be allowed to vote. She wants to ban fracking. She wants to use the power of government to force you to give up red meat. This is her record. I'm not making that up. This is her stated record. And because it is her stated record, it's fair game. It's fair game that she should be held accountable for. It's fair game that the Republicans should hold her accountable for. And it is fair game, I think, for everyone to recirculate these clips over and over and over and remind people of exactly how radical Kamala Harris actually is. Because she is, in fact, an extremely radical candidate in her positions. Now, she can say, well, she did what she had to do in order to try to win the Democratic primary. And that's a perfectly fair argument. But in being a fair argument as well, it also opens Kamala Harris up to the attack that she's an opportunist. So what does she actually believe? What does Kamala Harris actually believe? Does she believe the things she says? If so, she's a radical. If she doesn't believe the things she says, then why should we believe anything she says? So what does she stand for? When she runs now, she's going to say and do a great many things. And I think the Trump campaign should be willing to highlight the absurdities of her record in 2020. Do not let her distance herself from her record from 2020. She is the one who wanted to allow terrorists on death row in this country to be able to vote. She is the one who wanted to force people in the fossil fuel industry to get new jobs. They can hold her to that record and define her by her own words.
At your job, do you ever have to deal with a nose roller? How about a snub pulley? Well, if you're installing a new conveyor belt system, dealing with the different components can sound like you're speaking a foreign language. Luckily, you've got a team ready to help. Grainger's technical product specialists are fluent in maintenance, repair, and operations. So whenever you want to talk shop, just reach out. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.